Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Wherever you are, thanks for joining us on the journey today.
We are glad to have you with us. This month, we're talking about tips for marriage. We are just entering the season of weddings, and a lot of people are gearing up for that as we think about this month and the next couple months. And so we are just given some ideas about this, very preacher-like, where each of our episodes start with a letter F. And so we started with faith, and that's the most important ingredient within a marriage, is that both of you have trust and love in the Lord, walk closely to the Lord. Our second lesson was finance, and although a lot of people don't think that's a biblical topic, it's extremely biblical, and that's a major cause of stress, even among God's people today, is not understanding finance. Then last time we talked about family, the in-laws and the outlaws, as I call them, and some practical things about that. Well, today it takes us to a new lesson in our series, and we want to talk about the word future. That's something that seems to be the concern of every young person as they get married, is, you know, where are we going to live, what's going to happen, and things like that. And so we begin in Proverbs 31, that great section we call the virtuous woman. And we remember at the very front of that chapter, these are the words of a mother to her son. And she gives him advice about being a king. She talks about staying away from strong drink. And she warns him about not taking advantage of people. Remember the little guy. And then starting in verse 10, talks about the type of woman that would be the queen. What kind of woman should she be? And what's interesting, as counter to our culture and our society today, nothing said about how she should look, how tall she is, her pedigree, how much her daddy makes. None of that. It's the quality of the heart. And that is first and foremost. And when you get to verse 25 of Proverbs 31, it says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. I love that spirit. She smiles at the future. Jason, what's remarkable about that?
Yeah, it is the very opposite of the way many of us just naturally look at the future. I'm afraid if we were to poll 100 different people, we would hear a lot more about being afraid or worried about the future than smiling. When I imagine this person smiling at the future, this is a person who's at peace, at peace with God, at peace with herself, at peace with perhaps her past, but also as a result of all of that, at peace with her future. She's not worried. She's not consumed by fear. She doesn't know what tomorrow holds, but she is at peace, and you can't put a price tag on that sort of thing.
You know, and I think in the days that this is written long before Jesus. This is back in the days of Solomon. I mean, this virtuous woman would not have had a cell phone where she could check on a radar and see if a storm's coming. She just had to look up in the sky, and sometimes by the time you look up in the sky, it's too late, yet she smiles at the future. She didn't have an app where she could check the news and find out who's bombing who and who's fighting who and what country may be coming her direction as to attack her. She didn't have any of that. Yet she could smile at the future. That's just incredible. And I think that says so much about the hopeful and the faith and the attitude that a young couple needs to have. I've met a lot of couples, both old and young, and smiling at the future wasn't the description I would make. Worried to death, fretful, complaining, but that's not what we find here. And so let's begin by talking about, for the standpoint of a young couple, what's coming down the road for them. One of the first things we think about that normally happens is that there's going to be children born. That doesn't always happen, but that's kind of normally what happens. We had that little saying when we were growing up, you know, first come love, then come marriage, then come somebody pushing a baby carriage. And that child will change you. You think you have expenses now, wait till you get that little baby in your house, and you'll be amazed at how many diapers they can go through or how much formula they drink, and just just all the things like that. And then it transitions to the toddler stage. And maybe by then comes baby number two, and we got to kind of juggle that around just a little bit. And then there's the school days, whether you homeschool or go to public school, there's the school days. And then there's teaching how to drive a car. You think you got stress now, try to teach how to drive a car. And then there's the dating. You think you have stress now and driving a car, think about the days of dating. And trying to get them to map out their future. You know, what are you going to do when you move out? And trying to get them to see what direction, what career to think about. And then comes a time when they're going to get married. And so, that's all just lots of stuff right there.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I would advise a young couple is you need to talk about these things. You need to talk about how many children do you want to have. You know, it's the dreamful world is, I'd like to have 40 kids. Well, that's not reality, okay? First of all, there's no vehicle you could all travel in, okay? So that's not reality. But to be able to talk about those things and then to be on the same page about how are we going to raise these children and understand all the things that come with that. And
you know, one way to describe those various things that you were mapping out for us are different seasons. And I think that's really important for young people to appreciate. I have enjoyed, perhaps as a young person, a relatively carefree and stable season. And maybe even as a young couple, we have been in a really pleasant, we might call it the honeymoon season, right? But with children, with different jobs, with various life changes, seasons come and go, and with them, challenges. We change. We have to adapt. We have to realize, okay, what I was able to do when I was single, maybe I'm not able to do anymore. Maybe I was really into video games in college as a single guy, and now I'm married, and I'm in a different season of life, which means my responsibilities are different. Just a couple of days ago, I had a good conversation with a young lady, young mom, two little kids, and she was expressing not frustration as much as concern that she felt like she was in a good rhythm of Bible reading and personal devotion. And now with two little kids, she's really struggling to maintain that day by day. And the word that I used with her a couple of different times in that conversation was a season. Seasons come and go, right? And we need a lot of patience, a lot of grace with each other as we navigate those different seasons.
Yeah, and, you know, I have kids that have little babies, and the thing I hear from them is that, you know, I'm up at 2 in the morning walking them around. And your word is true. I mean, you're not going to be walking around that 16-year-old someday. Yeah. That doesn't happen. But right now it is. And it's, you adjust. And yet this passage rings true. She smiles at the future.
Yeah.
Another thing that young couples need to realize is the idea of moving. Most of you start off in a place, and that's not going to be your final destination. You're going to move to apartments or houses or cities or states or just a lot of that throughout a life. I've lived in a lot of different houses in my life and a lot of different states. And you know, that's always challenging. You know, just the aspect of moving is hard. Just about everybody I've ever talked to, when they move, they say, I'll never move again. But we do. It's just hard. And then when you throw children into this idea, well, we got to think about schools, or we got to think about congregations, and we got to think about lots of these things. And that's always difficult. And that's, again, that's part of this. Yet our passage rings true. She smiles at the future, even though who knows where she's going to wind up.
Yeah.
We think about the aspect of dealing with parents as they age. That's where I'm at. I'm an aging parent, okay? And what you're going to do with those, you know, and there's choices that have to be made. And sometimes as the parents get older and older, there's some tough calls that have to be made. And sometimes it's do we let them keep driving? Do we not let them keep driving? It's time to get them to move to assisted living. Do they move in with us? Yet through all that, this proverb passage says, she smiles at the future. And that's just remarkable, because there's so much down our own futures we don't know. We don't know where we're going to be living maybe in 10 years from now. We don't know what's going to be like when the children come or this happens or that happens. Yet there's that wonderful attitude and spirit about smiling at the future.
Yeah, and I think it's really important as you map out those various practical examples of this to recognize why she is smiling at the future. You know, you read the first line, strength and dignity are her clothing. If we read the entire chapter, of course, this is a God-fearing woman. And that is something that we've got to keep at the very foundation of all of this, right? We're not just talking about, well, a clueless, carefree smile just floating through life, bouncing off of circumstance to circumstance to change to change. She's smiling because she's building her life on the rock, right? And that's something in all of these seasons of life we need to make sure we're doing. You mentioned the idea of moving. A young dad needs to think before, okay, I've got this possibility of a promotion. I'm able to move up and it's going to require a move. Before he just gets all excited about that personally, individually, he needs to think about, okay, are there strong congregations in that area? Will we have the spiritual support system that we need? If they're not strong congregations there, what are we going to do about that? What sort of an impact is this going to have on my spouse? What sort of an impact is this going to have on my children? Looking at that through the lens of God is my rock and my refuge, right? Not slipping into the mindset of that rich fool in Luke chapter 12 that I've got plenty of time to build and tear down and build and leave God completely out of my thinking. He was smiling in Luke 12 as he, you know, leaned back and decided to relax and eat and drink and be merry. But he wasn't smiling for the right reasons.
Absolutely. And I can't help but think this woman in Proverbs 31, you know, the things you and I know looking backwards in history that she would not have known where she's at. I mean, Solomon wrote this, and that's before the coming Babylonians, and that's before the Assyrians, and that's before the Greeks and the Romans, and lots of turmoil for God's people. But God remained on the throne, and that's the core to being able to smile at the future. It's not that I've got everything figured out, I got all my boxes checked, I've got money in my pocket, I'm happy as I can be. It's the idea that my God, who I hold his hand to, is still there. And everything's still working out. So let's talk about just some practical lessons from this that ought to help us. And I think one of the first things that come to my mind is live today and not a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You can't make all your life's decisions today. You know, I've got bring this new baby home from the hospital, and we're going to do this, 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 this. And then when he's 10 years old, we're going to do this, this, this. And when he's 16 years old, we're going to do this, 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 this. And all those this, this, and this, he may not like any of those. And you'll have to adjust. And so don't get stressed out about trying to figure 20 years from now. But just work on, focus on where you are today, what's the need of the moment. And that's the key, and keeping the Lord there.
There is something to Jesus teaching us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And later in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Allowing God to worry about those things lets me smile at the future today.
I don't have to be in tomorrow. God is, and he'll take care of that if I get there. Second practical thing is the steps you take today, the choices you make today, can help you make things easier for tomorrow, or they can hinder those things. Yeah. You know, again, when we think about that relationship with our parents, Paul said in 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family first. It's the idea that we have an obligation to take care of our parents. And so that means the choices I make throughout that time. You know, I may be a young couple. My parents may still be working. Everything's just great. But I've got to look a little bit ahead of time and just realize if I'm just living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck and that's going to be the course of my life, then I'm not going to be in a position to do something. And so the steps you take today, you don't have to get all the answers today, but the steps you make, the choices you make, they can help you or they can hinder you. I particularly think about this in the idea of a young man. The choices you make may determine 20 or 30 years from now whether the congregation looks upon you to be a leader of the congregation. Will you be one of the shepherds here? Well, the choices you make today may help that or may hurt that. And so we've got to consider some of that aspect.
Yeah, life is connected. And one of the great books of the Bible that teaches us that is the book of Proverbs, right? The steps that I take today will define the path that I'm on tomorrow and the possibilities that are open to me beyond tomorrow. I can't live as if there aren't consequences, ripple effects, connections to my day-by-day choices.
Third aspect I would advise would be to learn and listen from others. This may well be why in the book of Titus it talks about older women teaching younger women. There's some things about life that someone who's ahead of me can help me. I can learn from their mistakes, or they can give me some shortcuts. I don't have to make the same mistakes. And so don't be so proudful that you can't ask for help. Don't be a position that you think, well, I'm somehow supposed to figure all this out and I don't know how to figure it out. Well, ask somebody, particularly a brother or sister who's a little bit ahead of you. You've got newborns, ask somebody whose kids are teenagers. You've got teenagers, ask somebody whose kids are raised out of the house. You know, just look ahead just a little bit and find somebody who's godly, who looks like they've made the right choices. And if they're good and honest, they'll share, you know, I made mistakes too. And here's some things that I wish I had done and I didn't do. But through all that, you help one another. And that will help you as you think about being able to smile at the future. I smile at the future because I don't have to do this by myself. I've got my God on the throne, and I got brothers and sisters who will help me if I will listen to them.
Yeah, that's one of the huge blessings of being a part of a local church, right? Where it's not just me or even me in my own small family unit, but it's me and brothers and sisters in Christ of all ages. It's one of the things so many of us love here at Charlestown Road about our Koinonia connections, right? Where we are paired with various people, all ages, right? Young men and older men, young ladies and older ladies. Shelley and I just had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to go out with a young couple who have their very first child, and we were just going out to enjoy a meal together, but we sat down and she, this other younger lady, had a list of a few questions that she had just about raising kids, and she appreciated the fact that we were a little further down the road in life. I've never met the brother or sister in Christ who would be offended or turned off or annoyed by someone younger asking those sorts of questions. That shows a lot of humility and a lot of wisdom just seeking that out.
And so awesome to have that help within the congregation,
yeah,
to have that fellowship. Then the fourth and final thing I would add to this is keep the Lord right next to you. Through all these different stages, through all these things, whether it's children or moving or dealing with parents and all the things that we call life, you're going to be saying prayers, lots of prayers. You're going to be seeking His Word, and you're going to be worshiping Him. And the closer you are to the Lord, the more it'll help you. I think this is why she could smile at the future. Smile at the future, even though I don't know what's coming down the road. Could be a storm tomorrow. Could be an invading army tomorrow. Could be a wonderful day tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow is, but my God does. And somehow He'll get me through that. And so that's the hope I think we need to see. And what a wonderful spirit. Just to hear somebody who can smile at the future. All of us can smile at the past. All we do is get out some old photo albums and we look at Christmases long ago or some birthdays long ago and we look at those old videos or those old pictures and we can laugh and smile. A lot of us can smile at today. There's things around us that are just pleasant and make us happy. But that special quality to smile at the future, that somebody has their heart in the right place with the Lord.
Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope our simple conversation has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound. You can smile at the future because the best is yet to come.